Blog Talk Radio.
Grind. To get what you want to be, you know that you gotta grind.
Give out some major blessings right now. Major blessings to you, my grinders out there, all my professional grinders, all my nonprofit, small business organizations, professional, career professionals out there. Major blessings to you for tuning in to Grindology. The purpose of this show is to provide information to help people grow professionally. That's what we do. That's the purpose. We have purpose. So I encourage you guys to tune in, get what you need, but don't stop there, guys. Pay it forward, share with others, because there's people out there that need this information. There's people out here who need it. And definitely I want to give major blessings to my rock, Michael Herndon. He is feeling better. You feeling better, babe?
What?
Last week he was down and out. It is something about being there to deal with. Yes. Having to deal with a spouse who is sick. I don't know about men being sick. When a man gets sick, it just seems like they on their last days.
What you trying to say?
I'm just saying y'all be on y'all last days. Mike woke up. He was short as a breath one minute, hot one minute, cold next minute, blind one minute. I mean, everything, blind.
Hold on.
That was real. He was blind. He couldn't see. Tim couldn't see.
And it's something you be wise to take care of.
You know what? Here's the thing. And I'm being transparent because I love my husband. Lord knows I do. But I just wish he was going to go on to glory if God was going to take him. That's all I'm just saying. I don't know about anybody else out there. When you marry, it's one thing. I am in it for sickness and in health.
No,
till
not.
Death do us part.
You don't need to put she
like to see I am.
We got good
insurance. I am. I am in it for
she
sickness.
She left me sick for 2 days, and all she can do is want to say, well, drink orange juice.
I feel like
the only time I've seen
I live off of orange juice. I don't,
video
yeah. Oh. Mm-hmm. I for me that's my remedy. My remedy is vitamin C. It's old school. When you douse yourself in vitamin C, emergency, everything with a C, it's going to help you cope. The C in vitamin C is cope.
Yeah.
It's supposed to help you cope with your illnesses.
It makes you feel like I was on coke. That's what I felt.
It
like.
Helps you to cope. Vitamin C is a natural immune booster. That's why they get all these things out here like emergency and everything to kind of help. So here's the thing. That's my standard. When I get sick, I take the Alka-Seltzer tablet and I drop it into the orange juice and I drink it and I knock it out. It's like a tonic. If you can drink Robitussin, if you can drink, what's all them, NyQuil, DayQuil, Mucinex, if you can drink all those things, you can drink orange juice without the cold. I mean, that's pretty much where I'm at. So here it is, guys. My husband is like, he's on his deathbed when he has a cold. So everything about his engagement is like, he's a victim. Everything about it is he's being victimized. He's alone. I have left him alone to fend for himself. And now I get the worst wife award because I didn't engage in all his feelings. The worst wife award?
I was just making sure you felt appreciated as being
the worst
wife.
Thank you. Because I don't do much. But what I do do.
Why am I still cooking?
But what I do do is I engage. Because I feel like you have to move around with your sickness.
Yeah,
you know, you stay active.
This
now, guys, here's the thing, right? He's down and out. He has to, you know, deal with his sickness, right? I, on Sunday, get the same cold. Right? Monday, I have to go into work exactly as I am, knock out 8 hours, come home, and then engage in tonic, go to sleep, get up, go back to work. You know, so I don't have time to be sick. But Mike loves the fact of saying, you know what, I guess I got to take care of you. Now, he's still dying. But he going to take care of me now. I was just sitting there. I was like, Lord, you know, that's the biggest, how can I say, test in your marriage. Because sometimes I don't, and people, some people have to be just transparent. Some people have to be transparent.
Yeah.
There has been time. Hey. That's it. That's it right there. That's it.
I just sounded just that quick. I'm quick with it tonight. I'm on. All cylinders.
That's all of it.
I'm running the ad tomorrow. We just somebody send red blood down here.
That's all of it right there. I'm
this
telling you.
Thursday,
I'm telling you. The reason why I'm saying it, that's
Michelle,
it,
the intern, to come work for y'all.
Telling you, that's what I had to be in my life. I got to be there. You know, I got to be on point. I got to use all this to add up. I can't even add, you know. I got to.
I make sure you got your horns and apples up.
Thank you.
I make sure you got that suit. I don't leave you alone for a moment. I make sure I'm there. Do you need? Do you want?
That's what I love about.
Yeah, I don't like
and that. I get grouchy when I'm down and out. I have to admit to that. I have to omit it. I get grouchy. I don't want to be talked to. I want to be left alone when I'm sick. I don't want the engagement like, honey, do you need? I'll be like, leave me alone. Let me fight this thing. Like I'm in a war. I'm in a battle when it comes to my sickness.
So you just evil.
I get, when I'm sick, it's like I feel like I'm, it's the unproductiveness of being sick that kind of like shuts me down. I get cranky because I don't want to, and I don't, you know, and Mike, he gonna tell me I got better the next day because I was 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
I'm 1, 2, 3, boom. You know, one day of real hard sickness,
mm-hmm.
And then the other two was kind of like subsiding. So this is my third day.
So just for clarity, y'all ain't got the corona. That's what you just want.
No, I ain't got it.
Okay.
I ain't got the corona. No. I don't got the corona.
But, I was just checking.
I had something. But, you know. And then I'm sitting there. So I'm you know, that's how I handled it.
Because if y'all got it, then y'all somebody that I know that got it.
And then you can take it off.
So I'm going to go to school tomorrow.
You know, I ain't really get tested
technically
for it. I'm going to
go to school early and be like, Miss King, why are you in kindergarten class?
I wonder how long does that last? How long does the coronavirus stay there?
That's the problem. See, that's the other reason black folk can't get it. You got to take off too many days.
I can't take off too many days.
Right. See, black folk can't. They know
it.
That
I don't like.
They know it wasn't for us because they talking 14-day minimum. We done already used up all our time.
They had
trying to save our time for the trip.
At work, they had to send me home. They was like, Lissette, you are dying.
See?
I'm sitting up there spraying Lysol,
see?
Wiping my face there with Clorox. I'm almost in it. I'm in it to win it.
See?
They was like, girl. I was in it to win it. You know, but at the same time, I'm just saying, that is it's one of those things where I say it is a test on your marriage to have to deal with that, because the transparency of it all is that if you that sick to the point that you on your last, because he went blind. Y'all don't understand what happened.
I was blind.
He was sitting there. He was, guys, I will not BS you on this one right here. I'm telling you. My husband went blind with his cold. That's all I'm just saying. And he was sitting there. I thought he was going to break out some kind of stick and start feeling around him. He said, baby, I can't see. I can't see. I'm like, and I'm sitting there staring at him. I'm like, can you see the face that I'm making at you right now?
Because
he couldn't see. I'm just saying, I came downstairs, every time I heard a cough, I said, did you drink your orange juice? Because that, for me, is the base. You drink orange juice, you'll be all right. But this dude got up, he became, what's the guy, Eli. He became the book of Eli. He became the book of Eli. He got up. And he's sitting there like this, straight ahead. And he's sitting there blinking. I got to show you the face. You got to look at me so I can show you the face. He like, and he looking straight ahead. He talking about something like, I can't see. I can't see. I said, you need to go to the hospital. Because now I'm at the point I'm nervous as a wife should be. Because your husband is going blind.
But then he just got up.
No, I know what Job went through.
You know what Job went through?
Everybody
wanted
me to curse God.
He said he wanted to curse God and die.
That's all he wanted.
You know what? But he got up. Oh! On the third day. The blind was able to see. The lame was able to walk. What you did, he got up on the third day. He thought he was going to die. He thought that flu was going to take him out, but my husband on the third day, he got up.
On the third day.
With all power in his chest. Yes, he did.
In his chest.
He can breathe. Can you breathe now?
A little bit better than he could before.
He can, right, because you seen him. He was like a zombie last Thursday.
Yeah, he wasn't even.
He was in zombie mode last Thursday.
And he missed on. It was good openings all day. He just couldn't get in.
I was like,
he couldn't get in.
He left the door open for him to kind of
turn double
come in and no.
You know, you turned double double.
Yeah.
He couldn't get in.
He couldn't get in.
He wanted to, but he was like,
he could not. He was, that's it.
Yeah.
By Saturday and Sunday, because that was Thursday. By Saturday and Sunday, he was on his deathbed.
Angela says in the watch party, "What's up with the tissue? Ain't no tissue."
I know. Let me tell y'all what happened, though, guys. I got to tell you what happened. I got tissue.
Uh-huh.
Like, it's a tissue epidemic out here because of the coronavirus.
Uh-huh.
I don't know, guys. I hope y'all out here. I hope y'all got y'all tissue and your hand sanitizer and your aloe vera.
But you got tissue.
Everything. my VP, she went out and she went to, I think she went to Target or something like that. Mm-hmm. They off the shelf. Nope. They said they were stalking her.
Yes.
And stalking her cart. Like, she was pushing her cart down, and they wanted to see if she was going to leave her cart so that they could pick up the tissue. I'm like, it's starting to get crazy.
If I need tissue, when I first heard it was a tissue and wipes shortage, the cleaning wipes, I called my second ex-wife because I know she got enough toilet paper to wipe every twice in Chicago.
Talk about in life.
All of them.
In life.
Down
she got
in
all
the
tissue.
That was,
she got all the tissue.
All the tissue. I called
all
her too.
Tissue.
I said, I'm just, and I said, I said, when I asked you a question, I said, hey, she said, well, first of all, she said, what's wrong? I said, ain't nothing wrong. I said, got a question. I said, do you have any toilet paper? She said, boy, you know I got plenty of toilet paper. I said, I know.
I said, I keep toilet paper.
I just want to make sure in case I can't get none.
She said, I'm able to crap for days.
I know where the toilet paper at. I know where to drive
she
to.
She knew
plus
where
I
the toilet paper
key.
Was. See?
So I know.
Look how you got a ram in the bush.
Huh? Always got some tissue for the tissue.
You already got some tissue for the tissue.
Come on now. I was on it. All I didn't know if I was going to make it. But then.
I got up. See, let me tell you how God work up in here. See, we ain't got to go through all this and be fearful of the coronavirus. You know, people start shutting down, and now they taking tissues off the shelf and stealing toilet paper and, you know, and hitting up stores for hand sanitizer.
You know it's
sanitizer.
Bad when the Fiji water gone. I said it must be serious.
It's real.
Because normally Fiji always
stacked
up.
It's real.
The Fiji gone in the store.
Let me tell y'all something.
That's all I got.
I'm hustling toilet paper, $5 a roll. So if you out, come holler at me.
I already know what I'm going to do, though. For
I'm going to sell toilet paper like New Square.
I know what I'm going to do for the Fiji.
What?
Since the airplanes flights are so cheap, we're just going to fly to Fiji and get me some water.
Another thing that's going on right now, ticket prices, guys, are down.
Let me look how much you took.
When I'm talking about down, like, you can get to Vegas right now for $25. A round trip to Vegas right now for $25. There's so many things that are going on right now in the world with this coronavirus. Y'all better rack up on flight tickets. Like, I mean, check these prices out here, guys. Y'all can be able to go anywhere. Somebody can go to Cancun for $600 for 7 days, all inclusive. So just take a look at your flights, and, you know, if you're trying to plan some trips, it's the right time right now to secure them airline tickets because stuff is going down. I'm just saying. Tissue going off the shelves and flight tickets are going down. I mean, I'm trying to see if I can lock on some. Tomorrow.
I did. I saw a flight to Vegas for $65
yeah.
on American Airlines.
Yeah, round trip.
$65.
Round trip. I was like, I'm on it. I don't know about anybody else. Y'all got trips planned. Y'all better go on ahead and get them tickets. But I'm just saying, like, that is one of the craziest things. But also, guys, Major blessing to the best media station in the world right now, TTLO, taking the limits off with my engineerical guru, Media Yoda.
Bless you.
Reverend Dr. Dana L. King. Dr. King, say hi.
Hi.
Hello. And guys, I'm just telling you right now.
Normally flights to Fiji is $2,700.
Uh-huh.
You can go to Fiji now for
$1,900. Wow. That's almost,
going to
that's
give
a
you
little
some water.
I'm
going to give
that's
me some water.
That's real, guys.
I'm going to give me some water.
That is so real. Oh, my God. You could just be like, now
that'll
you could
cure
just.
Your sleep apnea.
It will.
Go to Fiji. Just lay in the water.
Lay in the water. The Fiji water. The water of Fiji.
I'm trying to help you out.
Lay in
the
water.
You
want
to get rebaptized? Well, you might well go on over to Fiji.
Be,
no, that's all
right.
Be right.
Be well.
I wonder how they're going to stop baptisms because of the corona.
Oh, my God. It's so many things that have been
stopped. I'm just wondering. Do you know how much money, like, how much money that's going to be, like, you know who haven't said nothing about all the stuff that's been canceled?
Who?
Vegas.
No, Vegas ain't saying nothing about that.
Because March Madness has been canceled.
You know what? That is crazy.
The NBA has been postponed.
March Madness. It's canceled. Can you think about how
because of the gambling that ain't finna go on.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that sport book money. That's That's
real.
The money.
That's real.
Ain't none. No college. You know how much money they, college basketball?
College basketball.
Like today, I was on the way home. I was listening to ESPN, and they're supposed to play the ACC's tournament. Was supposed to start today. Mm-hmm. They just gave Florida State the trophy. They said, "Here, y'all, the chance," because the bylaws say that if you finish in the top at the end, you become the season champ, and then we're going to make you the what you call a champ. So if there is a March Madness, y'all will be the number one seed from the ACC. And they gave him the trophy.
Look, that's favor. I think that's favor, though.
Florida State.
You know, it's a lot of favor going on because of the corona.
Well, I need them to come on back. And I was looking forward to watching the Lakers in the finals. So I need them to
the corona.
But then they said they may start the NBA season back up in July.
Hmm.
If this is done and whatever. They may restart it in July.
Well, I guess we got to see because they say it's a pandemic.
Yeah, I'm still.
And it's and I don't know.
I didn't know if that was at Panda Express or not. That's why I was gonna go to Panda.
Panda,
ask them for the pandemic.
Yeah, you was gonna ask for the pandemic.
The three entree.
That is a pandemic. I swear that is when you get the three entrees. Panda Express. Like, I'm trying to think. I always got the orange chicken.
And the Kung Pao beef or whatever. The something with the beef. I don't know. Something with some beef on it. I don't know. I'm hoping it was from the cow, but you know.
I do the noodles sometimes. I'm in the noodle mode.
Okay.
I feel like I don't do the rice and then get on down. But guys, enough. Hey, Dr. Kimberly Thomas, my sister. We have to talk about the big things we do all week, Dr. Dana.
Okay,
because CTLO, we grind all week. We kick off the week with Mission on Mondays at 7 p.m. on Taking the Limits Off with Dr. Dana King, who gets your soul right all day.
Yes,
then we get our minds right with my sister, who is us, tuning in right now with Healthy Soul Talk at 6 p.m. with my sister, Dr. Kimberly Thomas. She gets our mind right, guys. Then, of course, is Grindology on Thursdays with your girl at 7 p.m. when we get our business right. We talk about all things professional. So a little bit of unprofessional, but a lot of things professional. Then we close out our week, if the coronavirus don't shut everything down,
We
open like 7-Eleven.
Man. Y'all tell me y'all coming, I'm going to be here. Y'all know I don't shut down.
We close out our week with a praise break Friday. He said corona ain't going to shut us down.
Right.
At 7 p.m. on Taking the Limits Off with Dr. Dana King, right. He turns up on Friday.
You don't run from the corona. The Dos Equis might, but the corona,
yeah.
We don't.
Yeah. I might run from a old English.
Now, you don't want the old E-virus.
Oh,
the old E-virus.
Ass.
Now, see, now, the old E-virus. Did she say St.
I did say St. Good evening.
You don't know about that private stock, though.
Oh, my God.
Private stock get your headache on the left
remember
side. Private stock get your headache on
oh
the left
side.
Oh, my
God. That is way back in the day. You drink that now, you'll die.
You know what? See, I was in Pete's one. Not Pete's. Tony's.
Mm.
No. Yeah, Tony's, Finer Foods.
Yeah.
And Tony's is a real hood grocery store. I don't care where you go to Tony's, it's still hood.
Uh-huh.
I was at the one over on Manheim Road.
Manheim Tony's is the bomb.
Why they got, the bomb. So in what should be the dairy section,
mm-hmm.
That's where they got all the 40 ounces.
Oh, they done made a section of it.
I'm going to give me a private stock. I can't do no live, but I'm gonna give me a private.
I'm trying to see how many people out here still drink.
Private, who still drink 40s or private stock?
Both.
I ain't had a 40 ounce in a long time.
Is that one of the things you crave and that did?
No, you know what it was? Real talk. I said when I turned 40, I wanted to have a 40s party, a 40 party, and everybody bring a 40. That's what I said when I turned 40.
40-40.
And everybody talked me out of
40-40.
It. Yes, everybody talked me out of it.
I would have too. I don't understand the thing.
I know you then, see?
See?
Bring a 40. That's how you get in.
I would have tried to bring
40s.
Slick. You have to bring one of the ones that you just don't know no more. Like Coors. Well, Coors is still relevant.
You're going to bring
Magnum. 211.
She said she lit.
Beyonce, we over here talking about 40.
Now, if you said Coke 45, then we
would. We didn't say Coke 45.
Did you say Coke 45?
Yeah, that was.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Coke 45.
I'm still upset about the Coke 45.
Oh,
it never worked for me. I went out, as soon as I was of age, I went to the store and bought me a whole six pack and opened it up and didn't nab a woman show up at my door.
I know, right?
I was
Billy
so disappointed.
G
I was
messed
so,
all
I mean,
up
I,
with that Coke 45.
Then I said, maybe I opened it too fast. I opened up another one.
Slow and sexy.
I did.
Did you open it up slow and sexy? About to throw something at him.
Mike,
Dad,
Mike,
there is no reason for you to be like this. I'm done.
Did
see, that's when you shut it off.
Did nobody knock on
the discussion?
Did nobody knock on my door?
That's when you
that
shut the discussion off. We are not having no discussion of him. Oh,
every time
doing
he cracked open the thing.
Doing again.
I'm gonna go get one.
Billy D. Williams was something fine, though.
I'm gonna go get one.
See,
I'm gonna get one when it's over and try.
No, he had the sauce. Billy D. Williams had the sauce. So that was something.
That's
else.
The only reason my mama took me to go see Star Wars 2 and 3. Because
of Billy
in.
D. Williams.
Mm-hmm. She was like, ooh, old fine Lando.
She said,
Lando.
Billy D. Williams. I omit
right.
it.
Lady Sing the
I
Blues.
I omit it.
She said, look at Lady Sing the Blues in space. I said, what?
Lady Sing the Blues in space.
Mahogany
I
in
love
space.
It. I love it. Everything in space.
Everything in space.
Look
what
at
him. Talking about?
Coke 45 in space.
Ooh, Billy, why you clapping? Why are you clapping?
Billy D. I'm telling you, Billy D.
You want my arm to fall off?
Yes. that was one of my favorite parts. That was one of my favorite parts. I love me some Mahogany. I'm telling you. Lady Sings the Blues.
Lady Sings the Blues.
Got to get it right. But, guys, real talk. Yeah, Beyonce, we already did the OE for the ones, I don't know, with Westsiders, I don't know. I think
Angela Johnson says, Panda Asian. I can't do, I ain't eating nothing Asian right now. Asian, eating bats.
You know what? Pastor Ed, we are not going to do that. We are not going to talk about it. So we ain't eating nothing Asian. Because if we eat anything, cats, bats, rats, none of that. In Jesus' name. We're going to stay right there. I'm in my lane right now. But this coronavirus is an epidemic, guys. I don't know. Like, you know, and sometimes I feel like certain things just put the cables on people, you know?
Yes.
And it's like, if you don't stay within your understanding, this is where your faith really, really matters. My faith ain't to the point that I do something stupid. But my faith is to the point of understanding that I don't have to lock down my life, you
right,
know.
Right.
Now, when people start walking around here like the zombie apocalypse.
Oh, no, I'm ready.
And they sitting there like doing like this and walking down the street. Now, I might just go ahead and shut on.
I had a little boy at school tell me, he said, Mr. King, you know what? We're going to turn into zombies, right? Like on The Walking Dead. I said, you know what, Little Jason, I'm going to change his name because I'm on the radio. I said, you know what, Little Jason, don't even worry about it. Mr. King going to stab you right in the head. We're going to have no problem.
You said, I'm going to take care of you. You're going to be free. Because that's what you got to do to zombies.
I know you want to come work with me. I know.
I'm telling you, that's real, though. That's real. Guys, but I don't know about anybody else, but if anybody coughs, are we all automatically thinking coronavirus?
Every time
somebody cough, clear their throat, sneeze, anything. I don't care what you're doing.
Yeah.
Anything. If you walking around, if you look congested,
yeah,
you like all you think is
partner,
corona.
Every time he click his throat, he be like.
I've been doing that, and then having to sneeze like.
Everybody do this.
Treating everybody like the Taliban. Remember when they used to think about the Taliban, and every time you got on the airplane and you see somebody that looked even remotely from any of
you
the
look
decisions they look like.
You look a little sandy.
You ready to just, you stand at him the whole trip, wanting to make him look like,
look
mean or anything. You ready to just go on and jump up. That's how people are now. Shiante, I am not going to go there. Lil DeMonte.
Demon Tay.
Lil Demon Tay. Oh, my God. Do you know? I just. I'm just saying that was too funny. He said, "Did you so happen to fall asleep in the line?
While you was walking?
I just
wanted to know.
Cause it's possible.
Hey,
You know, I just like how you looked at it from every angle.
I tried to give him every out, but he wouldn't change his story.
He
stuck to that.
I told Mike, I said, he kept the lie alive.
Man, look here.
He kept the lie alive. He did not change that lie. That's what I said. What? He said, what in the world does it make it appropriate for kids to think they can keep a lie that long?
He's been trained well.
He's like, look, I ain't no snitch. I ain't going to snitch on myself.
Right.
He said he put it on the next man.
Right.
But, guys, if you need advice or have a professional question that you would like to ask right here on Grindology, or you are a business, a nonprofit who would like to promote your brand or event, please feel free to message me in the Grindo or TTLO inbox or email us at takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. We want to promote what's going on in the city. We want to promote what's going on with your brand. If you have some networking events that you would like to put out there so people can come and visit you, or if you have a brand that you would like to promote, your business that you would like to promote, feel free to email us at takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net or call into the station at 323-870-4375. Once again, that's 323-870-4375. But before we go to our first break, we're going to talk about, we already talked about, like, that was the major grind. The coronavirus is the major grind. But I wanted to talk about this study, guys, before we get into talking about our topic today, which is vision, the purpose-driven vision. So it identifies purpose, it identifies what it is to have a vision, and what does that mean? We're going to really get into it today, guys. But before we do that, I want to talk about this survey, because yesterday at school, we were having we were listening to a lecture with one of the executives from the Better Business Bureau, who was discussing about the importance of where small businesses and nonprofits are evolving to, and how we have to, you know, be more understanding about what is happening now. You know, what is about to transpire? What is already transpiring, but what is small businesses and nonprofits transitioning into? So we were talking about how it's important now that when it comes to millennials, millennials are the ones that are going to be the driving factor of, you know, the way businesses are evolving and the way missions are, mission-driven organizations are evolving. So I looked up the 2019 Deloitte Global Millennial Survey, and it talks about how optimism, trust reach troubling low levels, right? So it says Deloitte research reveals a generation disrupt. Growing up in a world of accelerated transformation leaves millennials and Generation Z feeling unsettled about the future. Like, people are, like, at this moment, they're not too hopeful about the future when it comes to certain areas. So it talks about basically how we have, despite the current global economic growth, expansion, and opportunity, millennials and Generation Zs are expressing uneasiness and pessimism about their careers, their lives, and the world around them, according to Deloitte's 8th annual millennial survey. They take this survey every year. So in the past two decades, especially, we've seen steep declines in respondents' views on the economy, their country, the country's social, political situations, and institutions like government, the media, and business. Like, people are feeling very, very pessimistic about it. And it says organizations that can make the future brighter for millennials and Generation Zs stand to have the brightest futures themselves. So they're saying that the ones that are really driven in purpose, the ones that are really focused on making impact in the world, is what's driving millennials and Generation Zs, right? So the 2019 report is based on the views of 13,416 millennials who were questioned across 42 countries and territories. So millennials included in the study were born between January 1983 to December 1994. This report also includes responses from 3,000 Generation Z respondents in 10 countries. The Generation Z respondents were born between January 1995 and December 2002. The overall sample size together was about 16,005, representing the largest survey of millennials and Generation Zs who ever completed the Deloitte survey. So with this, they had some really major takeaways, right? So the first takeaway was optimism and trust are becoming scarce. So that means that people are less optimistic about, you know, and about trust and who can they trust. Mm-hmm. You know, they think about the aspect of when I give you my money, are you just trying to take it from me? They look at the motives of individuals. They look at the motives of small businesses. Are you trying to drain the resources out of my community or are you helping my community? Are you trying to drain, you know, are you trying to get over on me? But see, here's the thing, guys, and this is what really stands out to me. As what we call subject matter experts when it comes to social media, as that becomes more and more saturated, right? We got all kinds of tutorials. We got all kinds of people with that are experts out here that you go on any YouTube page. And as that starts to increase, you really don't know who you can trust. You know, you don't really know that how many times we've seen that as it becomes like more and more evolved with people who are experts in certain areas, right, when it comes to credit or experts in, you know, being having social media followings and all this extra stuff. Like, as we start to see that become, like, grow and become more saturated, our children are starting to become more leery of who to trust. And I feel like that's valid. When I think about you have so much access to social media, and so many people's opinions and views and everything are displayed constantly on social media, where now this is where our children are trying to identify what's real and what's fake based on social media. Back in my day, the encyclopedia was the truth. I don't know about anybody else out there, guys, but back in my day, the encyclopedia was the truth. That's exactly where I found all my information and my substance. In school, that's what I had to identify as truth. You know, what I was being taught, what I learned in the textbooks, what I pulled out of them blue Encyclopedia Britannica books. Those were the only, the stuff that I went to the library and researched. I researched it at the library. That's where I gained my truth. But now, having that much access to information is creating, you know, distrust in our children. They don't trust and they don't know what to trust. Because here's the thing, people can come out and just like they're talking about the coronavirus and say, you know, and not just that, technology itself. Because when you think about it, now people have the ability. Now, here's the thing, guys, and this is the real truth, right? We have filters. We got all kinds of our digital technology that allows us to alter our views. Have you seen those videos where the kids, they look like they pouring something, like something out of a glass and it's popping up out of the glass, or they throwing something and something turns into M&Ms or right, something like that? Like, our children see this all the time. Mm-hmm. What do they have to identify what's real and not? They spend their time thinking about that. Right. So it comes down to the end result where now they're more inclined to trust things that make an impact in the world. So something that's serving others, something that has a purpose, because they deal with fake all the time. Mm-hmm. Fake lashes, fake hair, fake filters. Everything that's going on now in social media has the ability to trick you. Not to mention everything. Everything from the rooter to the tutor, physically. And I'm telling you, also, even in our genders, like gender choices, and everything is now becoming so, you don't know what to believe. Now, this is so biblical when you think about it, right? I was looking at something the other day. Actually, my son was showing it to me, and it was a girl who was actually a boy who went through the process. When you look at this girl, when you look at him, you cannot tell what this child is. You can't tell. You can't tell. I'm telling you, you cannot tell. Mike said you can tell, but I'm telling you, I look at it and I'm telling you, they're getting to the point where it's becoming full-fledged changing. Everything is transitioning and transforming in the front of our children's lives that they don't know. So now as they're talking about who I'm giving my money to, who am I sowing and investing in, who am I being a consumer to, they think about now what's real. And they're saying now that the optimism and the trust are becoming scarce, guys. Like, it's really going down. So they said this year we saw a deterioration of optimism in a wide variety of both macroeconomic and day-to-day anxieties waiting on millennials' minds. So that's telling you right there in the dough, guys. That's telling you right there in the dough that our children are being exposed to so much on social media that now it's creating this pessimistic view of what's real to them. You know, so they say they have a bleak expectation for the economy, the lowest we have experienced since we began asking the question 6 years ago. Income inequality and the lack of social mobility were likely factors driving economic pessimism, highlighting the negative impact of an uncertain, unequal environment.
Shiante says, our children have no work ethic now because of easy accessibility. They don't have to work for much of anything nowadays.
Yeah, and see, here's the thing, guys, and this is one thing, and that's a good point, Shiante. That's a really good point. But when we think about it now, our work ethic is different from our children's work ethic.
Mm-hmm.
Our work ethic was manual. It was hands-on. It drove a lot of action. But as as technology starts to be to evolve, as the world becomes more digital, work ethic has changed and shifted with the evolution of technology. So where we used to have to get up, wash dishes, wash clothes, wipe walls down, do the things that was, you know, necessary and manual, because that was where we was raised. Our parents were manual. They had to, everything from farming to picking cotton to doing, you know, working these really hard manual jobs, that's what rolled off over into us. So then we looked at that as a being a value or work ethic, getting up, you know, going to work, whether it was McDonald's or flipping burgers or stuff like that. But then what's happening is that, you know, it's evolving. So work ethic has shifted for our children. So when we look at the kids and they're playing video games and they're on the computer all day or on their phones all day, they're tapped into really the sources that should help them evolve to the next level, you know, because you got to find out how to work this digital stuff out here,
mm-hmm.
You know. Technology is going to evolve to the next levels that it is, that we're seeing right now when it comes to artificial intelligence, when it comes to these algorithms, when it comes to everything that we're seeing right now going on when it comes to technology. When our kids get to that level where they have to go out, they have to focus on things that we didn't have to focus on. And that's just real talk. They have to look at things that we didn't have to look at. When I started to identify anything technical was when AOL was a dial-up. And that was our first connection to what we identified as the information highway, where we had access to certain things. And it was almost like an addiction to me when I first got that access to just type in anything and pull things out of what we called at that time the internet. But now everything in the cloud. So another takeaway that they see is that millennials remain skeptical of business motives. This is where small businesses, nonprofits, this is where, like, us guys, the older ones at our age, need to look at where our children are putting their money. Because here's the thing. They are the major consumer now. They are growing into being the major consumer. They are the ones spending the dollars. They are the ones that are going to be investing. They are the ones that are going to be sowing into missions. Now, when we have these older nonprofits and we have these older, more tenured small businesses, we have to start directing and looking at the demographic. You know, mom and pop are spending less. They holding on to their money. Why? Because they're trying to retire and they're trying to, you know, get things prepared for when, you know, they're going on to the next level. But now it's the millennials and the Generation Zs that are spending the money. So they said millennials' opinions about business continue to diminish, in part due to views that businesses focus solely on their own agendas rather than considering and the consequences for society. 55% said businesses has a positive impact on society, down from 61% in 2018. More millennials than ever, 49%, would, if they had the choice, quit their current jobs in the next 2 years. Now, you know millennials don't stay in no jobs. I'm going to tell you that now, guys. We know that, you know, back in the day, mom and dad had real loyalty. I'm talking about they 30 years, 40 years at a company working, they bust off to retire.
I believe part of the reason, though, that millennials don't have that loyalty anymore is because they saw that some of those companies that their parents stayed at for years weren't loyal to their parents.
That's real. That's what we've seen in our generation.
Right.
So let me tell you this. I know my goal at that time when I started even entering into the career world was that I wasn't staying nowhere no 30 years. I'm not giving nobody 30 years of my life. You know, I'm trying to find something else. We start thinking about it in our time. What we got to be entrepreneurs. I want to start my own business. I want to make my own money. I want to be able to, you know, dictate what that is. But we look at that evolution, guys. We look at that transition, and we know why we're here. But also think about why our children are where they are right now when it comes to this. So they said, in addition, millennials and Generation Zs in general will patronize and support companies that will align with their values. This is where we're coming at now, talking about a purpose-driven vision. Like, we have to look at the demographic of where this money is coming in from, who are our consumers, who are the ones that are going to be supporting these businesses. And they said right here, guys, black and white, in addition, millennials and Generation Zs in general will patronize and support companies that align with their values. Younger generations are putting their money where their mouths are when it comes to supporting businesses that make a positive impact on society. Many say they will not hesitate to lessen or end the consumer relationship when they disagree with the company's business practices, values, or political leanings. Mm. So they're saying, like, these kids are radical with their money.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. We're not going to support anything that's not going to support the world.
They understand that their dollars work.
Absolutely. Now that's real, and I feel like I that's where I stand. I stand at the same place. Like, people are more likely to support businesses that have a value to make impact in, you know, in your communities, in your world, you know, make the world better. So I was looking, we were looking in school yesterday. We were looking at the it was a video. It was called Bombas. The name of the company was called Bombas. What it was a the sock company, and for every pair you own some Bombas. I'm telling you, Bombas blessed me, guys. Y'all have to look that up. Bombas blessed me. Shianta said, "Yeah, my mom just said yesterday they didn't even have a mop. They mopped the floors with rags and sponges on their hands and knees. I'm telling you, this is where they came up from, though. And that's real talk, Shiante. They came up from that. You know, they knew hard manual labor. And if it really wasn't for the fact that they did that, we wouldn't basically be where we are now, you know. And Shiante says, I don't disrespect the dollar anymore. Even the drug game has changed. We sold weed, heroin, crack, and powder. We didn't have lean X bars back. I'm telling you, we had bail money and lawyer retainers put up all right there. That's street. That's all hood right there. And that's much respect, Shiante. I'm telling you. She said, they didn't change. They didn't got weed. I mean, they still weed is still universal. Now I'm really trying to understand if it really is a gateway drug. Because now it has evolved to lean X. I don't even know what a bar is. I don't know what a bar is. I'm out of that thing. Hey. Yeah, hey. That's what we had back in the day, Shiante. We had hay in the middle of the barn. Hey, in the middle of the barn. You need to be shot right now. Why do you do that on my show, guys? Why do you do that in my show? No, the corner feeling great. How you feeling good today? Okay. I'm just saying, back in the day, we had hay. That's all. Back in the day, we had hay. And Xanax and all this crazy stuff. I'm telling you. And I'm talking about, like actual medical drugs. Not just drugs. Actual medical, you know, like Xanax and all these other drugs that you're supposed to get prescriptions for, but the kids are finding out how to get it. I'm telling you. They finding out how to get it. But this is the thing, really, guys, that stand out with me, right? That they're saying, real talk, our millennials and our Generation Zs are putting their money where their mouth is. They're not supporting anything that does not support a mission. And that's real. And what that really means to me is that for us as individuals that are like probably at an older age who are looking to start businesses or are looking to start nonprofits, have to look at who is going to support them. You got to be able to change in having purpose. It's more than just starting a business to make money. It's more than just, you know, starting a business to support your family. Even though that can be a reason, that can be a goal, it's not your end all be all when you're trying to pull in millennials and Generation Zs. You got to have a purpose behind it. You got to be supporting someone. But going back to Bombas, the sock company, what they did was they sell socks, and for every one pair of socks that you purchase from them, they donate a pair to the homeless. Because here's the thing, they seen a need, right? They seen a need. What was the most requested item for a homeless person?
Socks.
They seen a simple need. Yeah. And from that, they created a simple business to support and drive a purpose to fulfill that need. Mm-hmm. Simple. Now, in 2016... they donated 1 million socks.
Yeah.
Now they're at double that that they have donated. And they're not talking about how many socks they sold in terms of what they've actually made in revenue to support the business. They're talking about the major purpose of their business was to give socks to homeless. And it's a simple method, but it made such a huge impact. And that's what we have to be, guys, when we're thinking about this, when we're actually thinking about purpose-driven vision. Another thing they say is that the youngest generations are no less ambitious than their predecessors. More than half want to earn high salaries and be wealthy. but their priorities have shifted. Travel, and seeing the world was the top of millennials' list of aspirations. 57% of millennials wanted to travel and see the world, while slightly fewer than half said they wanted to own homes. 49% wanted to own homes. Now, that used to be the American dream for people in, you know, my mom's time. Going into our time, we wanted to own a home. If we owned a home, we have arrived. They also were more attracted to making a positive impact in their communities or society at large. 46% of millennials were more attracted to making a positive impact in their community and society. And also having children and starting families was 39%. They said, we don't want to have no kids. We don't want to start no family. We don't want to get married. Now, I don't know where that stands for us, guys. Like, we look at that as a value, right? Family as a value. Having a home is a value. You know, that's what the things that we identify. We start families. We buy a home. We, you know, live happily ever after. Have the American dream with children and a dog. We have a good 401k, we retire, and life is beautiful. And we work hard until we retire, and we retire, and then from there we travel. You said, and then the millennials stick you in the home. Hey, I'm telling you. But generally, they say millennials think their ambitions are achievable. But for many, their dreams have been delayed by financial and other restraints. So it is. They have the dream of changing the world without the energy to make the money. It's still going to take that hard work. I don't know about anyone else, but it's still going to require, I'm telling you, millennials, here's the thing. There's something that you cannot change when it comes to this whole process of serving your community, changing the world, changing the society. It's a common denominator. And that common denominator is hard work. I don't care where it is, how many computers you know how to type, everything. You cannot get anything unless you work hard for it. Now, if you get it easy, I don't know. I've never seen it. I don't know if that's something. Somebody tell me that anyone who has gotten anything easy. And if they did, I want to see how long they kept it. Did they keep it? They probably
were they able to keep it?
Yeah, because, I mean, I feel like that creates value. Mm-hmm. Now, here's the thing when it comes to us as parents, what we do, right? Our kids, we are the ones, we struggle. And we take pride in the stuff, the items that we purchase, the things that we get. And then our kids, they come along and they break their iPad and then they say, Mom, I broke my iPad.
Mm-hmm.
You get them another one. I broke my cell phone. You get them another one. I broke any digital item that I have, and now my life is disconnected from the world,
mm-hmm.
and you replaced it. So, I mean, for us, are we as parents enabling them?
Yeah.
Are we going into that process of, like, are we telling them that they can achieve everything without hard work? I wouldn't believe that to be so. I feel like we need to continue to focus on that. Then we're going to take a quick break. It says that younger generations embrace technology and understand its benefits. 71% of millennials feel positive about their personal use of digital devices and social media. But more than half said, on balance, that social media does more harm than good.
Mm-hmm.
Nearly two-thirds, 64% of millennials said they would be physically healthier if they reduce the time spent on social media. And 6 in 10 said it would make them happier people. So our kids are actually saying in certain aspects that they know spending too much time on social media is bad. And that if they didn't even have social media, they may be happier.
Hmm.
Do we look at social media as a drug? Is it an addiction to our children now? Or is it just part of their life? You know, I don't know, but that's a good thing to But then they say cybersecurity also looms large. Over 14% of millennials strongly agree that the benefits of technology outweighs the risk associated with sharing personal data. 79% are concerned that they'll be victims of online fraud, or a quarter of millennials have curtailed consumer relations because of companies' inability to protect data. So they're basically saying that the more we on social media, we know, the more we giving up our personal information for these apps, for every banking app that we done did, Chime, Cash, PayPal, everything that's asking for our social security number.
Cash app, Zelle.
Like our kids, they look at that as normal processes for them to give out their social security number, you know, to access things, because that's where they work primarily off of their phones all day, every day. So they look at it as part of a necessary process, but they are concerned whether or not they will be affected.
I don't even want to give the bank my social security number when I call.
I know.
I'm like,
don't you got it?
Right.
That's why they get the PIN codes now. They ask you for the PIN code instead of the social security number.
Give you that. Better recognize my voice.
I know.
Something.
And I ain't going to give you my...
Can I blink three times in the phone to do
right.
something?
Right. You got to give something. Let me tell you something. I still keep my change purse right here. That's where I keep all my cards and stuff. That's the safe. I wish somebody would go up in there and try to steal an identity. They're going to get what they're looking for. I'm telling you. I still keep my change purse. That's old school. That's old school real. That's protected. Nah. Cause you go ahead and try to reach for a change purse and try to take somebody's identity, you're going to pull back a nub.
Come on,
anybody show walk? Come on, Cleta. I know, Siante. You're going to walk over,
but you're going to limp back.
I'm trying to understand why. Y'all got to see him over here. He's so crazy. But, guys, Siante, you put it back. We used to aspire to be doctors, lawyers, and nurses. Now they just want to be the next Megan Thee Stallion. I'm telling you. But here's the thing, guys. Mm-hmm. And this is where I like to draw. You don't know who Megan Thee Stallion is. She's an artist.
What's she doing?
She dances. She raps.
Oh, she's like a music artist.
Did you say she paint pictures?
Well, that's what you said.
Are
artist.
So old. She's an artist.
Okay.
She's a rap artist. She raps. That's what she do. She raps. She raps, and she's an expert in twerking.
Oh. Okay. Oh, you
didn't
say that.
No, I ain't say that. But see, oh, now that's an interesting skill set. Megan Thee Stallion. But guys, before we go on our first break and get down to the real topic that we're talking about right now, which is the purpose-driven vision. We got to be able to leverage ourselves as professionals to focus on the purpose. And in that, we get the vision. And we want to be able to ask these questions, you know, what is the difference? Ain't purpose and vision the same thing? Isn't it the one and the same? Do we have that? Yeah, she's a YouTube sensation. But that's what we're talking about today, how to have a purpose-driven vision. This is actually a series. We're not going to be able to do this in one setting, guys. We have to talk about this thing because, really, I need the mindset to evolve, to do things and handle business from the aspect of purpose. What is your why? How are we going to be able to accomplish your goals? How are we going to be able to go to the next level professionally if we don't have purpose and we don't have a vision? Without vision, the people perish. That's what it says. So I'm going to go into a quick break, and then we're going to get right to the meat after this, talking about purpose-driven vision. What does that mean? We're going to talk about that right here on Grindology. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. us of all things professional. Our topic today, guys, is an awesome one, and it is about the purpose-driven vision. So we're going to get right down to the nitty-gritty, and let's talk about this thing, because like I said, guys, this is something that we have to discuss in parts. It's not something that I can just be able to pour out, because what I need and what my real goal in this whole process is to shift the mindset of when we're trying to start a business and when we're trying to start nonprofits to support a mission or support our communities, what do we need to look at now in 2020? What do we need to focus on right now in 2020? Now, Eula, I'm telling you, girl, that was awesome feedback right there. For a dream comes through much activity. We got to work hard. And it says, and a fool's voice is known by his many words. All right, now, Ecclesiastes 5:3, New King James Version. We need to stop talking so much and focus on the work. Now, this is the thing that we have to really get into. When it comes to people and individuals in our age bracket that are focused on always talking about what we're trying to do in terms of starting a nonprofit or how much we want to support the community or how much we want to make an impact, because we find ourselves talking more about the problem and less about making the work happen. And that is so, so important, especially now, because I'm going to tell you guys right now, that if you get into that mode now, thinking that you're going to start a business just to make money, and it doesn't have any substance to it, the ones that are spending the most dollars, you're going to miss. And then you're going to find yourself picking between the twos and threes of the individuals that you have connected with through maybe age relations or people within your peers, and focusing on driving off of your peers to make the money, when it's the millennials who are actually doing the work, you know, and spending the money. So here's the thing. Let's talk about this thing. Let's talk about the difference. What's the difference? When we talk about purpose and vision, it's not the same thing. It's not the same thing. Your purpose is your why, right? We're here to guide each other that one step further along their journey. Right, that's what the purpose is. Your vision is the what that reveals where you are, where you're looking to get, what's that end result, and then the mission, because you got to have a mission. Your mission is your action, it's your strategy, it's the path of the purpose. Through our engagement with all three, we can start gaining that momentum, we can start making things work. So a lot of times, guys, purpose, mission, and vision gets really confusing. You know, you don't understand. Sometimes we have people who don't understand what their purpose is. You know, we got some people that don't even know what their vision is. You know, we're walking around, how can I say, blindly, almost like Mike when he had the cold, blindly, not being able to see what our real purpose is and what our vision is and what our mission is. So let's talk about purpose, right? Why are we doing what we're doing? Why are you starting that business? Why are you starting that nonprofit? A lot of times I've heard individuals say that they start a nonprofit to, you know, get grants and make money. When you think about that in certain aspects, a nonprofit is driven, everything from the revenue and the purpose of a nonprofit is driven to support a community, support a mission, impact the world. They want to impact someone's life. It's initially 100% driven to serve others. That's what a nonprofit does. It serves others that are in need. That's this side. On the other side, we got a for-profit, which is a small business, right? Mm-hmm. For-profit purpose is to make money. They want to make money. They started the product. They started the service. They launched the business solely to make money. Now, whatever the motive is behind making the money, that's one thing. So you have these two really strong dynamics, right, that started off at one point in time. How many times have we seen, like, dozens of nonprofits? We still see nonprofits floating around right now. Mm-hmm. I call it, I want to say now, like, nonprofits, some nonprofits, especially the startups, are now like the Dead Sea Scrolls of mission, of making an impact, because their hearts are in the right place. But one of the things that we had a discussion about yesterday in school is that how so many people, if you're really focused on the mission, why aren't we collaborating? Why aren't we engaging with each other within the community and trying to make this, whatever your goal is for a reason for starting this nonprofit, why aren't we working together with other resources to make this thing so? Why is the sole purpose of creating a 501c3 is to get a grant, you know, or to be able to get donations? That's some of the questions that you have to ask.
Right. It probably won't work.
Right. Why? Because now we're looking at it like this. One, like, grants and things out here, you got to have the capacity for it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got to have something that's tangible, that's going to give you a solid foundation when it comes to starting a nonprofit and getting grants and making an impact. 9 times out of 10, if you started a nonprofit, you're coming out straight out the pocket
mm-hmm.
to support whatever that small vision is. I've seen little babies now who they whole thing is they go home and they make sandwiches for the homeless and they pass it out. They're doing it. They're going to the store. They're actually active. And that's a question for a lot of my nonprofits out there now. Are you actively engaging in supporting your mission before you get that grant?
Mm-hmm.
Are you actually, and I always say that too when I'm communicating with individuals who have started nonprofits, or if I'm consulting anyone who wants to start a nonprofit, I always tell them, you might as well start off supporting whatever it is. You know, there's always that small, that little thing that you can be doing right now mm-hmm. to make that impact. If you're looking to feed the homeless, you can't get a grant right now to feed the homeless or get a building that brings the homeless to you. Now you got to go there.
Right. Can't do nothing.
Can't do nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And then in certain aspects, when we think about it, and when it comes to small businesses, their sole goal was to make money. That's it. Now they're at that point now where, like, you got these in-between organizations, which now we're calling social enterprises. We're calling social entrepreneurs that are making the money and also supporting the cause. They're actually making an impact and supporting the cause and making money at the same time.
Mm.
Social enterprise.
Yeah.
And it's funny about it now, they're talking about how this is a birth of what the millennials are looking to support. This is the birth of where, you know, profit with a purpose is starting to evolve. Nonprofits are starting to transition over to generate and take that on that social enterprise mm-hmm. piece in order to make money and sustainable revenue to support the cause. And small businesses are going and bringing on that social impact piece to take some of the money that they're having, and they say there could be greenwashing. Mm-hmm. That could probably be a motive. But they're taking it to support the impact that they're trying to make on the community. So it's like a good balance between the two. It's a great balance between the two. And I think that that's one of the things we need to look at when we're talking about a purpose-driven vision. Why am I going to a particular destination? What is my why? Your why is your purpose. Why am I doing this? What is my purpose behind it? Is it to make money or is it to help? You know, somewhere around that, we have to identify that. That drives your purpose. Your why is your fuel. Your why is the thing that's going to keep you going. And then how will I get there? You know, what's the mission? How do you get there? How do you achieve this purpose? How do you achieve this goal? And then what will it be like when I arrive? What's the vision? What's the end result of this mm-hmm. whole process? What's the end result of you when you're starting this business? What's your end result? When you start this nonprofit, what's your end result?
Mm-hmm.
How are you going to get there? And then who will I see when I arrive? When you get there, who are you going to see?
Right.
You know, who's going to be there? Now, that's good. That's one of them things, like, who's going to be in your circle? Why, guys? Purpose focuses on four elements of impact, your purpose. Why do you believe you can make a difference? The purpose needs a reason. Why do you believe you can make a difference? Who? Who do you work to impact? Purpose needs people. You cannot have a purpose without people. You're driven to serve.
Come on,
called
now.
To serve.
Come on, now.
You called to make an impact.
Mm-hmm.
So my thing is, why? Purpose needs a reason. Why are you doing it? Purpose needs people. Who are you doing it for? Because this is what our millennials are asking, guys. But I feel like these are the questions we need to ask. Because, like Dr. Dana said, behind the power of our money, it has to have an assignment. Your money is an investment. I don't care if you're spending a dollar or you're spending 50 cents. Every penny that you spend has an assignment. So we got to ask these questions now when we're spending our money. We got to ask these questions when we start, you know, sowing into businesses, when we start to sow in. Not so much as, because I know we look at the trust factor, but you got to look at it like, okay, when I give this person a dollar, when I go to the beauty supply store and I buy some lashes, it could be something as small or insignificant as lashes. But when I go in here and I buy these lashes, where's my money going? I don't care if it's a cent. When you look at now, like these apps called like Stash.
Mm-hmm.
Like I got a Stash app. So like when I look at like now, anytime I use that card, it tells me 22% went into this stock.
Right.
13 cent went into this stock. $1 went into this stock. It's letting you know where your money's going. We have to, within our communities, know where our money's going when we spend it. What is the owner of that particular business? Where is he or she taking that money to?
Mm-hmm.
Is she putting it back into the community?
Yeah.
Or is she taking it outside of our community to spend it in the community that she lives in or he lives in? We have to start looking at that. We have to be more critical of where we're spending our money. Also, purpose needs a plan. How do you achieve this impact? This is your purpose. You got your reason why. You know what people you're here to serve. Now you need a plan. Purpose needs a plan. How do you achieve the impact? What's your plan?
Mm-hmm.
You can't start anything, guys, without a plan. You cannot go willy-nilly out here thinking you're going to start a business or do anything without a plan, even if it's a small plan. If your plan is, I'm going to go to the store, grab some lunch meat, some bread, some cheese, and I'm going to grab some sandwich bags, I'm going to put it in the sandwich bag, and then I'm going to walk over to, where was that, Roosevelt and Taylor? I'm going to walk over to, I'm going to drive over to Roosevelt and Taylor where all those tents are, sitting right there off of the expressway, and I'm going to feed sandwiches. That's the plan. You got to have a plan, no matter how small or how big. And sometimes we have to stop thinking of it as the vision is always going to be big. Vision is always going to be big. If it's small, it's not a vision. I'm telling you that now. If your vision is small, you can't call it a vision. It's not a vision if it's small. A vision is something that is going to surpass your life. So I need everybody to understand this. Your purpose is what you're called to do, your assignment, why you're here. That's your purpose.
Mm-hmm.
This is what you're called to do. This is your assignment. But your vision, what you see, might surpass your whole life. So also, let's think about it. Purpose needs vision and impact. So you got to have, if you have a purpose, you got to have a vision behind that. You got to have a vision behind your purpose. So what will the impact look like when you achieve it? What is the end? What is your end going to be? There's certain things when we look at visions, we be like, at the end of this, I see this.
Right.
You know, and I don't know, guys, I'm a woman of faith, so I know that my vision only comes from one source. So, and I believe that without my purpose comes from one source, and my vision comes from one source. And I'm gonna tell you like this: if you think that you are the one that's creating the purpose and the vision, you are clearly mistaken. But to say that is your purpose needs vision and impact. What will the end result gonna be? Sometimes we see. And this is one of the things that used to be one of my, how can I say, weaknesses or my downfalls, right? Okay. You see the vision,
mm-hmm.
and your whole goal is to rush to get towards that vision.
Yes, yes.
You want to do everything, like, and this is where I'm at, right? God shows you the vision,
mm-hmm.
right? And you so geeked that you're going to go all the way, you going to run, you going to pass, go. You not going to collect $200.
Mm-hmm.
You going straight there. I'm chasing this vision. And you start to realize as you start chasing this vision and you start trying to cut corners to get to it.
Mm-hmm.
Or you're trying to, you know, overthink it. Or you're trying to, you know, engage other people who don't have nothing to do with your purpose or your vision in it. And all these type of things that happen, what I call is distractions, to get you to that particular point, not knowing that your vision is going to supersede everything that you have worked hard for or even engaged in.
Yeah, a lot of times we run to the vision because we want to get to the outcome. And a lot of times part of the getting to the outcome is enjoying the process.
It is.
And a lot of times we don't want to go through the process because we so stuck. We see how much money is at the other end.
Yeah.
And we want to get there.
That.
And we want to get there.
Let me tell you something. The one who, the first dude that had the vision of McDonald's.
Yeah.
First person that had the vision of whatever loan money company you can think of right
mm-hmm.
now that is still in business today, where
mm-hmm.
the founder is no longer here.
Mm-hmm.
But the vision is still here.
Mm-hmm.
You have to look at it like that. If your vision dies, but you are still not a vision. I'm sorry to tell you that. That's one of the things we have to identify with. If the vision dies with you, it was not a vision. It was a goal. And then either you achieved that goal or didn't.
Mm-hmm.
But if that vision still lingers around like Walmart, the people who started Walmart ain't here no more.
Mm.
The people who started Burger King ain't here no more. The people who started any of these stores right now that you're going to spend money at right now are no longer here. But they started the vision. They seen it.
Mm-hmm.
But they drove based on purpose. They wanted to do what they were assigned to do with what they had. And that's one of the things that will really help or bless other people when it comes to identifying what your vision is. You about to kick it off. Up in here. I'm talking about you about to get it started.
Mike didn't hit that one. Mike didn't hit that one.
He about to get it started. So guys, we're gonna definitely close out because he's about to kick it off. But let's talk about this, right? Start with purpose to understand the difference, right? You begin with purpose. You begin with purpose. A purpose is the why you have begun the journey. Guided by the deeply held values and beliefs that inspire it to make a difference. That's what purpose is. We're going to close in that realm right there. Purpose. So that we can go on and we're going to build on this definitely, guys. But you begin with a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
You sometimes it's hard to understand and to see that. Sometimes we run through the day-to-day. We work, we come home. And we really don't think that everything that we're doing on a daily basis has a purpose. But I would be crazy to think, guys, that we're around here and we're just moving without purpose. That we're out here and we're moving without purpose. That we're driving without a purpose. So a purpose is the why you have begun a good thing. You know, they say he who has begun a good thing, and you will see it all the way to the end. But it says, a purpose is your why. Let's identify what your why is. Thanks, Shiante. Focus on your why. As we're going into this process of understanding the purpose-driven mission, I need you guys, this is your homework assignment. What is your why? What is your why for starting a thing? What is your why for even getting up in the morning going to your job? What is your why? Why do you do it? Why are you starting this business? Why are you starting this nonprofit? Who are you trying to help? What's your why? Let's talk about that. Hey, Braxton. That's my baby. What is your why? Focus on that. Once we have that why, then we can talk about what it is to drive that purpose. We're focused on purpose-driven missions in this season, guys. We're focused on doing things that we need to do with a purpose in mind, not just trying to do things just to get seen or get known or get followers or get money. We got to have a purpose behind this because I'm telling you, the millennials ain't going. The Generation Z, they want some purpose behind where their money going, and I'm right there with them. I might be, I don't know what generation. What am I? What generation are we? That's Jesus. That's Adam and Eve. We generation one. You talk about numero uno. What generation? I'm sorry. Is we generation X?
I think you're generation X.
I think we are.
Yeah, we would be considered generation X.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
You what are X, dude.
What are you then? You numero uno?
Yeah, why? You are not a generation Y.
We're going to talk about this, guys. What generation are you? Because I'm telling you right now, our millennials and our Generation Z, they want a mission. Cash rules everything around them. I'm telling you. So we got to focus on that. But, guys, until next Thursday, I just want you guys to just be blessed. Focus on your why and let your why drive you throughout this week until next week. Until we hang out again talking about purpose-driven mission and purpose-driven visions right here on Grindology. We're talking about this all season, guys. So get your books out, get your notebooks out. He wanted to play this so hard, so we just right there, right now, in it. But I love you guys. Thank you so much for supporting Grindology. I hope this segment really helped us to understand what our why is and help us to really feel that understanding so that we can move forward in what we're called to do. But until then, I love you guys. I see you next Thursday. Have a safe weekend, a crazy Friday. Tomorrow, taking the limits off, Praise Break Friday, where he's not playing, cash rule everything around him. But I love you guys, and I'll talk to you later. Everything around me. Prem, get the money. Dollar bill, y'all. Prem, get the money. Dollar bill, y'all.
Christ rule everything around me.
Christ rule everything around. That's it.
That's it.
That's it. That's your Praise Break Friday. That's where you at. Christ rules everything around me. Word in the mind.
Grind. To get what you want to be, you know that you got to grind.
Hey.
Phrenology, hey.
Phrenology,
hey.